There's a good ball played in for Tony Morley. Oh, he missed it! And it is! Peter Will!
Welcome, everyone, to From Witten to Rotterdam, an Astonville podcast. We're your hosts. My name is Eddie.
And I'm Pascal.
And today we're joined by Teemu Itkinen, all the way from Helsinki, Finland. Teemu, how are you today?
I am fine, thank you, and thanks for having me.
Oh, of course, it's our pleasure. And I think, you know, especially with a frustrating week behind us now after the Manchester United result, I think we want to start on a high note, something a little bit happier. So we're going to start with our global villain section today. So, Teemu, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Are you like a part of like an official Lions club, or is it just kind of like you're just a Villa fan in Finland?
I am part of official Finland Lions.
Okay. Well, I guess the question kind of begs then, because I know I'm curious, I know Pascal is as well. Why on earth are you supporting Aston Villa, especially all the way up in Finland?
Yeah, I'm growing up to Villa fan because my dad is Villa fans. He's starting to support 70s when Jimmy Rimmer came to Villa, and that's it's no other choice for me but support for Villa.
So yeah, so as it runs in the family, I was just wondering, have you ever had a chance to go to Villa Park at all?
Yeah, I'm 15 games, I think, I am visit to Villa Park. So I try to come two times a season to watch some games, but now of course no chance to come to England.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's been the case for, I mean, Pascal's based in Dubai, but he's originally from Birmingham, so I'm sure he's had similar difficulties. I've had a few plans to go this coming year, which I know are going to be curbed now, so it's the tough part. But it's good to know that, like, you have the family there, especially to support with all the way back in Finland. So, you know, you've grown up a Villa fan, which I think for some of the folks we've interviewed, that is the case for some, not always for others. So you've had a lifetime of this, and I'd love to hear some of your, you know, your highlights as a Villa fan. Like, what were some of the best moments that you've endured, you know, you've been able to witness?
Yes, probably highest is that playoff promotion game. We never win anything when I support, but I'm too young to remember this League Cup finals where we win. So of course there is some FA Cup semi-final against Liverpool is good also, but overall it's not always good moments to be Villa fans.
Yeah, there's a lot of ups and downs, especially in the last 10 years, but hopefully the good times are coming back with Dean Smith and Villa flying high in the league. So speaking of which, obviously last year we still have quite a serious global pandemic with COVID. But before COVID, what was it like at the Lions? Would you all meet together in the pub, or do you have various places that you go to? And what's the atmosphere like on a normal?
Not really. We have big country, but we have small people. So there is Helsinki. We go sometimes. One other Villa fans. We go to pub sometimes. Normally, I'm watching with my brother or my dad games. So we don't have any pubs to go every games.
Very fair. And yeah, that's the trouble with, you know, one of those countries that does have a bit of a sparser population. Figuring it out. But, you know, you mentioned you do get to watch it with your brother, your dad. Sometimes there's one other fan. I don't know if you want to give him a shout out on here. But what does it kind of get like? You know, are you guys more just, you know, I think I've seen a lot of different things. You know, like sometimes people are very quiet when they're in the small group. Sometimes they're still very rowdy. So, like, tell me a little bit about that. And, you know, from far away, yeah, just give us like a rundown of the typical match day for you, and, you know, especially any advice for folks who potentially are visiting Finland in the next few years who might want to watch a game.
Yeah, so normally when I go to my dad, he lives different city to me. I try to go very often to go watching with him games, starting to watch game, drinking lemonade, no alcohol for. Not much alcohol for us, but we are Finnish people are very quiet, so we are not too much talking with games.
focus on the business.
Yeah.
All right. And I think, you know, I have one more. But, you know, since you said you are part of the Finnish Lions, tell me a little bit about like that group. And then again, just kind of going back, if people are traveling through Finland, like how to get in touch with you guys so like they can make sure they are connecting with you and like, you know, on a match day, they can organize something.
Yeah. So we have Facebook group. I use more Twitter than Facebook, but we have Facebook group. Then Twitter, if you come to Finland, you can send me a message for Twitter. So I can check if we can go to watch games or something like that. It's no problem. And then we have also WhatsApp group for Finnish fans. But if you want to Facebook group, you can invite for Finland Lions. It's our Facebook group name. So
yeah. And, you know, I can think of one Finnish player on the team right now in the youth ranks. We have Sinisalo, who's on loan right now, the highly rated goalkeeper. I don't know, Pascal, can you think of a Finnish player in the last 10 years?
The only one I can really think of is Peter Engen, but his name is a taste to most Villa fans' mind. I think we'll just pass over that particular player.
I don't know, Timo, do you have a particularly fond one we're missing or no?
No, really. There is not Villa players really who Finland Villa players. I mean, Enkelman playing, but
yeah. Hopefully someone comes. Hopefully Sinisalo comes good, and then we'll have someone to root for you. But I think that's a good time as ever to move on. We're gonna go through, since we haven't recorded in a little bit, we're gonna go through the last few games we've missed, and the first one, a particularly good one, Aston Villa 3, West Brom 0. A great, great start to the Big Sam era. So, folks, I'll start with Timo. Timo, after watching that game, how'd you feel? What just your really quick thoughts on the performance?
It's fantastic performance. It really is. There is no doubt about the winner for start to finish. Even the red card, they have no chance that game. So we are a really good team right now. So it's enjoy to watch when we play.
Yeah, I completely agree. It was a comfortable victory, really. It was a good week. Obviously, before that, we had Burnley and Wolves. And, you know, if anyone asked, would I take 7 points from them? Absolutely. Although I thought we would draw with Wolves, beat Burnley and beat West Brom. But however, either or, points are on the board. And as we'll talk about in the rest of this show, we're playing full of confidence at the moment. And we're really exciting to watch. Probably the best Villa team I can remember, in terms of the actual football being played for a long time. And obviously, it's always a good one to get one over West Brom. Rivals. Birmingham City are the real rivals. But I know a lot of West Brom fans who like to pipe up as well. So it was a sweet one as well. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and, you know, I think one of the things I really loved about that game, you know, prior with Crystal Palace, we went down to 10. We looked comfortable. This was just kind of putting it on its head. You know, unlike last year, where I think we really struggled when we were up a man, I think, you know, there was a composure that, I mean, granted, West Brom are awful, but there was a composure there that I think, you know, we didn't see as much of last year. And I think it was El Ghazi who was actually interviewed later on, who said, you know, there's just a lot of confidence. We're not playing with fear in the way we know we were last year. So I think that's really positive. And then speaking of not playing with fear, the next game, I think, was a really, really good result for us. Chelsea 1, Villa 1. Pascal, I'll go back to you real quick to start us off, and then we can move on to Timu's thoughts. But, you know, that was a very different kind of performance in the West Brom game. A little bit cagier, a really good side. What'd you make of it?
Yeah, you could. I'm delighted with a point, first of all. That's the first thing I'll say. Everyone would have took a draw before the game. You know, and we were close to nicking it. You know, if Jacob Ramsey ever scores that goal, like 10 seconds after he comes on, I think, I don't even know what I would have done. I would have like celebrated like no man's business. But yeah, it was a great performance, but deserved draw. Chelsea scored, like, Chelsea's goals, nothing we could really do. I was actually like quite worried because obviously we didn't have Tyrone Mings, who we're definitely going to talk about later, who's been coming under a lot of criticism, whether unfairly or not. I was worried about him because he's the leader at the back. I thought we'd struggle, but Ezri and Courtney did fantastically well. I thought McGinn, that's one of his best ever games I've seen him play for us. He was everywhere. He was absolutely outstanding. And then Anwar El Ghazi, as Twitter's calling him at the moment, pops up with another back post goal. It was a good game because obviously we went 1-0 down and we showed real character, especially at a place like Stamford Bridge. to come back and score the equalising goal. So absolutely thrilled with a point. It was a great, you know, late Christmas present for all the Villa faithful. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good point. Hard fought point against good side. They are better team, but we defense really good. And then Anwar El Golsi again scores. So I'm very happy that point. Celebrate that point, actually.
Yeah, and, you know, speaking just to the McGinn thing, when he rattled the crossbar there, I didn't know what to do. You know, he hit it so cleanly, and I thought that was going to be the winner. But just an overall really good team performance. I want to talk a little bit about, before we get into the Man United game, which we'll spend a little bit more time on, because I think, you know, McGinn was definitely my man of the match, and I'm sure folks are agreeing. But the way it looked with Konsa and Haas in the back, I know we were talking about missing that leadership performance, but it didn't really seem to miss a beat. I think with Courtney Haas, you lose a little bit of that ball carrying sort of ball distribution quality that Mings brings, but, you know, you also gain a little bit more stability in the air. So especially with Olivier Giroud playing, it was weird. What do people make of that defensive performance? Because obviously it was resolute, but it was like a different kind of resolute that we're usually used to seeing.
I think we miss a little bit Mink's distribution with ball, because Haas is not that good for you with ball, but Haas is brilliant against Chelsea. So I don't think for that game we don't miss Mink's at all, because we defense much more than normally.
Yeah, if there was ever a game you wanted Courtney Haas in, it was against Chelsea, against Olivier Giroud, who is on the, I think he scored the most headed goal since his debut in the Premier League. I read somewhere earlier, so. And Haas is in my opinion, our best defender from a physical point of view in terms of winning balls in the air. I agree with Timo's distribution. I think you're being generous. In my opinion, it's shocking at times. And yeah, I just think his distribution is terrible. And I've said this. That's my main criticism. Obviously, it will undoubtedly get better with age and stuff, but it is pretty poor. It's disappointing though, even though I've just said that the goal came from a headed goal from Olivier Giroud. Although I think I probably blame Traore for that, for not tracking back. You know, you've got Ben Chilwell, who probably one of the best left backs in the league after Andy Robertson. You know, and defensively you need to track back on players like that for the whole game. And unfortunately, in the first half he didn't do it, and which ultimately led to goal. In the second half, I think Dean Smith must have told him, you know, you need to just stay back a bit more. And Chilwell wasn't really involved in the game. So, yeah, that's also something which I should flag as well. As much as I love Traore, we'll talk about him in the Man U game as well, his defensive attributes at the moment worry me a little bit in terms of his tracking back. Like, whereas Trezeguet, he's not scoring the goals, but you know he's going to put a shift in running back and forward at the pitch. You know, and our next two opponents are Liverpool and Spurs, you know, and in that position, the pitch, you've got Sadio Mane and Heung-Min Son, who are like two of the best, probably the two best in that position in the whole league. So we hope him really can kind of start to trap that, because Matty Cash needs it for sure. As good as Cash is, he's not Superman, unfortunately. So yeah.
No, 100%. And actually, I think Timo made a good point there. I mean, we'll definitely get on to Traore a little bit, but just in a game where you know you're going to be absorbing a little bit more pressure, you know, having someone who's going to be able to play it out, always nice. But I think swinging the balls in, like, that's the game you do want Haas in. It's like being able to like repel everything that's coming on. I think Konsa's stepped up into the organizational role, but I think of also the one time I really noticed Mings not being like there was when Traore didn't track back, because that's a call, you know. He's barking the entire game, like, hey, get back, you know, telling people where to be. And I think that's one that, you know, that was the one time I really noticed. I was like, oh, I would have much preferred Tyrone Mings in this area. But overall, a good point and one that I can definitely walk away with head held high. But all right, let's get on to the one that I was almost dreading talking about a little bit, because it was so frustrating. But Manchester United, it will start even before the game kicked off with the team sheet, because again, Ross Barkley gone missing. Obviously, you know, he's had a recurring hamstring thing before the game, you know, in his career history. But he was, for all intents and purposes, supposed to be back for this game. So I'm curious as to what people thought of the team selection, Mings coming straight back in as well. Timo, I'll start with you. Like, what'd you make of that team sheet? Because I know a few people were surprised to see Mings come straight back in and also Barkley nowhere to be found.
I'm not surprised that Mings starts straight away. My opinion, it's right decision to get Mings back to starting lineup. It's harsh for House, but Mings is better player even when House is in form right now. But Barkley, I don't know what have really said to Barkley. It's same what Villa doing every year under Smith. It's Grealish first and then McGinn and now Barkley. So they just not tell for truth for these injuries.
I completely agree. I would have played Mings as well from the start, purely because against a team like Manchester United who press and counter so well, you need your quickest defenders. And I think Mings just has that little bit of extra pace on Courtney and obviously the issue. So, and he's the leader at the back. And, you know, that's the kind of game where we needed him. Because although we did defend, in my opinion, we defended very well and conceded two sloppy goals, you could see that Mings played very well as well. Just in general. And again, we can talk about that in more detail as we analyse the game. But I'm glad Mings played, because I don't know, with Courtney playing, the score could have been even worse, in my opinion.
No, I agree. I do think for all the stick he kind of comes under, and you know, I think that's the Villa faithful in a nutshell. Like, it was Target earlier in the season. Target's playing pretty well. So now it's Mings. Like, you need a scapegoat. And, you know, I think he's just kind of been the one to take it for the last few weeks, you know, I'd say without much reason. But you know, getting into the game, I completely agree. I was pretty surprised to see Barkley completely omitted, just given everything that's come out. But I think with injuries, you just need to be as mindful of that as possible. You can't have like a for sure timetable unless you really know. And I trust the medical staff more than I trust Twitter people who are saying like, oh, like he should be back by now, like, you know, unless they are doctors, and I don't know about that. I think the people behind the scenes are the ones knowing. But yeah, I think the leadership quality of Mings against an in-form Man United team is just something we couldn't really afford to not have. So we'll go into kickoff and talking about that first half, staying on Mings too. I think the first thing to talk about is the goal, because people are calling it a mistake. I mean, it was in a lot of ways, but I also think it was just a really, really unfortunate little mishap. Like, that's bad luck, you know, right into Martial's path. So, Pascal, that first goal, what are we thinking?
Ultimately, because Mings doesn't make the interception, which he should have done a little bit better for, I think he'd be the first to admit, he's the one who's going to get criticism. But if you scroll the clock back a few seconds, that free kick from Troyo was shocking for a start. And then I think it's Elgazi doesn't track his man, which leaves Target completely outnumbered on the right flank. Taking up away from Man United, it's a great passing move. It's a fantastic move, like, on the eye. And, you know, just the final bit, you'd think Mings is just going to, like, head it away or just knock it away from Martial. And just unfortunately, Martial gets his head there and, yeah, they score. There's nothing really much you can do about it. I'm not gonna give Mings stick. I thought he played very well. No one talks about the amazing tackle that he did on Rashford about 10 minutes before when Man United were through on goal, and he got like a toe to the ball there where Rashford definitely would have scored. But, you know, people just like to pick on the mistakes of the players instead of praising them when they do well.
Yeah, so that first goal, I agree. I don't think it's Mick's fault, that goal at all. Yeah, Mick makes me a small mistake, but Traore awful free kick, and then Elgazi not tracking back, and it's good ball also, one Bissaka crossing, so it's unlucky goal to concede really for us, and good counter-attack for United.
Yeah, and Juan Bissaka's, you know, someone who isn't totally known for his offensive game, but that was a peach, and that was a really just like a tough ball to deal with, so all credit where credit's due. But you know, he gets ahead to it, just ricochets in a weird way. I think it's really hard. I think Pascal said it perfectly. It's really hard to put the blame on him there and, you know, give him too much stick for it. So overall, the first half, I thought, you know, I think we had some flashes, but it looked It looked like there was a little bit of caginess, a little bit of hesitancy. You know, I'd love to get folks' thoughts because I thought we looked like we were playing a little bit more, not conservatively, but just like there wasn't as much flow into the game as we've seen in the last few weeks. And obviously it's a better team, you know, better opposition, that's going to happen. But, you know, there did seem to be some, you know, tentativeness. So, Timu, what do you think of the overall first half performance? Because I think, you know, there was a little bit of a letdown there, and then we can go on to Pascal.
Yeah, it's cagey half for Villa. It's not our best. Like Smith said after game, that first half we are not our best. So we are just not in the game for first half. United is much better for first half.
Yeah, you could argue that we're lucky to only be 1-0 down in the first half because Martinez had made like many saves throughout the first half as well. We just never really seemed to get going. The only thing I can think that Villa did of note was that chance from McGinn after about 10 minutes where he come at the back stick. I thought that was going to be a goal, but unfortunately it wasn't to be. But other than that, in the first half, you could say United in the first 10, 15 minutes, like absolutely battered us, and I thought they were going to score an early goal. But we weathered the storm, then we had a couple of chances, and then it was all United again towards the end of the half. And then ultimately they scored 5 minutes before halftime. Luckily, we, you know, from a performance aspect, we seemed to put that right straight away in the second half, and we looked more of our old selves again.
Yeah, and we can go straight into that second half. No changes at the break, which I think was the right move, especially because I think we were growing into things a little bit at the end. And then, you know, after a little bit more of an open start, we get our goal. And, you know, that man again, Jack Grealish, making a wonderful play down the left, all the way to Traore, who, you know, I think that's 2 and 3 at this point. You know, he's playing well. He's putting the goals away for all his other deficiencies. So I'd like to talk about the goal a little bit because it was a really well-worked move. And I think Jack does really well to kind of break into the box. So, Timu, what did you think of that goal as an overall team effort? I thought for a second that before Watkins let it run, he was going to try and take a swing at it and take it off of him. So I was surprised to see him, you know, really let it run all the way. It was good awareness by him.
Yeah, it's, again, great for Jack, what he's doing again, assist that goal. Great ball, great awareness where Traore is. I thought he shot Grealish, but he assisted them. Nice goal to score.
Yeah, you could see from the goal, because I think just before that, Watkins had a header, which is almost a carbon copy of the same thing, where Grealish just cut in a little bit and then dinked one over. So the warning signs were there for Man United. And again, I think it was a quick free kick or something. I think someone got fouled, and McGinn does really well to find Grealish on the left. Man United couldn't get back in time, and we capitalised. Great touch, great first touch, and great finish from Traore. Absolutely delighted for him. Again, I think, yeah, that's 3 and 4 or something like that. So he's really starting to find his feet. He is that player, though, where he just seems to, for 85 minutes, he can be terrible, and then for 5 minutes, he's, like, incredible. It's really, really difficult to work him out, like, as a player. But, he does some absolutely fantastic things and some absolutely dreadful things. But if he's scoring goals, you can't really complain too much.
Did anyone get worried when he brought it back onto his left foot? Because I saw him take the touch so, like, in tight quarters, and I was just like, oh, no.
Once he took the first touch, I thought Maguire was going to get it. I thought Maguire was going to block it. And luckily, it went in our favour, and he didn't block it. But I thought he took too long. But luckily, we got one. We got a goal, which our play deserved. I thought we were the better team at the start of the second half. So, well, I think we deserved the goal.
Yeah. Timo, were you worried? Because I had a heart and mouth moment.
Yeah, I thought he missed that. Yeah, it's not looking good.
But anyway, moving on. Straight away, Villa going to do Villa things. And, you know, within, I think it was like 4 minutes, we had conceded again, this time from what I think was the moment of the match, the ghost penalty. Pogba, you know, gets dragged down by Douglas Luiz, who's half his size. I mean, I've seen debate on both sides. It looks like the legs clip a little bit. It doesn't look like anything's really happening. It looks like Pogba also swings an arm out and catches Luiz. I mean, it's pretty diabolical, but I'll get your opinions, guys. Timu, what'd you make of that penalty? Because I think Villa fans are going to have a pretty particular view, but, you know, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page here.
Yeah, for me, that's never a penalty. I don't really know what Luis can do with that. He's not touching for Pogba, Pogba touching for Luis's leg, and then he falling down. It's very soft.
Yeah, it's a hard one because It's one of those where if it's anywhere else on the pitch, it's a foul. But it's so soft. I mean, the angle that they're showing is like, obviously, where it does touch Luiz's right foot, ultimately causes Pogba to trip, you know, because Pogba doesn't trip over unless that touch happens. But no one shows Pogba's left arm in Luiz's face or anything like that. You know, you could argue it could have gone the other way as well. What I would want to know is, if the referee hadn't given it, would VAR stepped in and gave it? Because I don't think it would have. Do you know what I mean? I don't really want to complain about VAR all the time, but this is the thing with the clear and obvious, because these decisions are so subjective. You know, some people think it is a penalty, some people think it isn't. In terms of the letter of the law, it probably just is, but it's so soft. So yeah, I just think we were hard done by, really, but you know, there's not much we can do about it now.
Yeah, and so the Manchester City game is on right now, and I just saw a quick clip of Rodri absolutely just like knee on knee with Timo Werner, no call. So I think, you know, we're saying this every time, but I think the inconsistency is the thing that gets me the most. You know, I think Pogba swung an arm. I think that could have honestly gone the other way, been a free kick for us, but you know, the slightest little clip, suddenly it's the big thing. I think the announcers yesterday during the slate of games said it best. It was an Old Trafford penalty, and I think that's really appropriate.
It's one of those, like, our penalty against Wolves was similar, the way McGinn went down, where he's running, there's like a slight touch on him, which forced him to clip his heels. But it's really tough. When you do ask for consistency, there's one with, I think, Kieran Tierney from Arsenal. I can't remember who they're playing, but they didn't get a penalty. And it was like the exact kind of similar kind of tackle. I wouldn't mind if they were all given or if none were given, you know, because at least then we know when that kind of incident happens in the box, what the result's going to be from it. But the fact that there's no consistency, and the fact that, in my opinion, Villa are getting the decisions against them, it makes it really hard at the moment for Villa fans to really appreciate VAR. You know, it definitely needs some work. And I think the people at Stockley Park, definitely, I don't know if they need some training or maybe they can get former players to do it instead. That might be better because, yeah, at the moment, we're losing points. The Brighton one's another example as well. I could go on all day about it. The Brighton one, where we were robbed in the last minute of a penalty. The West Ham one, we were robbed in the last minute of a penalty as well. So at the moment, it's not going for Villa at the moment. I can understand why a lot of people are upset about it.
Yeah, and then, you know, Bruno Fernandes does what he does, takes 20 minutes, runs up to the ball, kicks it after a little bit of a hop and a skip. Martinez actually guessed the right way, too. He was just like a little late off of his line. But, you know, as much as you can want, he was there. And it was a really tough one to give up. And that last little bit, I thought we were, I mean, other people can sort of chime in on this, but I thought we were all over them. I really did think, you know, pushing for the equalizer, we were going to get it. We had some really good opportunities. The one that comes to mind for me the most is... I think Watkins had Mings had a header right at the end that I thought was gilt-edged. I think Watkins has had some opportunities. He just missed a few headers that were like pretty clear. It's been tough going, especially up front for Villa the last few games. You know, I think we're getting results, but the shooting boots, especially for our beloved Ollie Watkins, have been tough to find. So yeah, I just wanted to hear what you guys kind of thought of the last few minutes, and then we can maybe talk about the Maguire penalty shot as well, because that's something that I think everyone's trying to brush under the rug.
I think we play really good. We maybe deserve the point that game. We are so good. We go toe-to-toe against Man United. They need to make professional fouls lots of times, but unlucky again for not finishing our chances, and two, we need better player on the bench also, because they are not contribution enough for this, our bench players right now. They are not good enough for change games like that. Better bench and we maybe get that draw.
Yeah, I think that's what's separating Aston Villa from being kind of like a mid-table team doing well to really pushing for that top six is the squad depth. Manchester United can bring on Titch, Dan James, Cavani, who wasn't in the squad today, but on another occasion he would have been. They have that kind of quality they can bring on to change games. And we're bringing on Jacob Ramsey, who's played about 10 senior games, and Keenan Davis, who everyone knows what the problem with Keenan Davis is. Again, I thought Keenan Davis was going to score in the last minute of the game. It had me out of my seat. And to be fair, it's an incredible block by the defender. There's nothing. You can't blame Keenan for that. The only thing you could say is a striker of composure might have took another touch to the left or something to anticipate that block. But I get it. It's the last minute of the game. You know, you're thinking, just put your foot through it and see what happens. But unfortunately, it's another moment that hasn't fallen for him. I thought we were brilliant in the last 10 minutes. The Mings won the header. I thought that was going in. Because that's the kind of chance he scores. But yeah, it just wasn't to be. At the end of the day, you know, it's Man United away. They're going to be the favourites. And we've gone toe-to-toe with them at their own place. You know, and you can see the way they were celebrating. They were celebrating the win after, like, they just won the Champions League final. So they knew what kind of game it was, how difficult the game was for them. So, you know, all we can do is look at the positives. We have another ridiculously hard game against Liverpool, although I'm not really that bothered about the FA Cup. I'd like to do well, but my focus is on the league. And then Spurs, who are the ultimate counter-attacking team. So two very difficult games, but we're competing well against the top teams, which is incredible to see. And I think on our day, we can get a result against anyone.
I mean, 100%. I fully agree with that. And I think to close on this game, one more quick discussion point. The Maguire arm, not quite the hand of God, but the arm of Harry. Did folks think that clipped in? Did folks think that should have been at least reviewed as a penalty? Because you look back at the footage and, you know, there was no discussion. The punditry didn't really talk about it much outside of an outside comment, but I thought it caught him. Timu, do you know what moment I'm talking about? Did you think that clipped?
I know. Yeah. So if it's touch for McGuire hand, it's penalty. But I don't really see. I don't see live picture for. I need only that a picture for that incident. So I don't know if it's touch his hand. But if it's touch his hand, it's penalty. I think United did have penalty against Brighton for same kind of incident after full time.
Yeah, I completely agree. Again, I agree with what you just said. I've only seen a picture. I haven't really watched the game back that much because I'm still bitter. But that picture circulated on social media. And if it does touch his arm, it's a penalty. You know, as you said, Man United got one against Brighton. You know, Brighton were in the changing rooms getting ready to go. You know what I mean? And the referee pulls them all back out to take this last minute penalty. So I don't really know about that one, to be honest. I can't say it's a stone wall because I didn't see it in live time. It just looked like him and Davis had a collision before he took the shot. But yeah, you know, it's Old Trafford. We're never getting decisions there, I'm afraid.
Oh man. especially not in Fergie time. I think that's what we need to know. But so, I mean, final thoughts on the game, you know, we can talk about a match ball and, you know, who played great for us, but any final discussion points? Because I know, Pascal, you were talking about Traore a little bit.
Yeah, for overall, we played well. We can't really sit here and just blast the squad. You know, I have my opinions on Traore. I just think he's the ultimate hot and cold player. He's either absolutely shocking or incredible within the same game. I've never seen like anything like it. He just has like phases. Do you know what I mean? El Ghazi did pretty well. Caused Wan-Bissaka problems the whole game. I thought Jack was incredible. I thought Watkins was very unlucky with the header. I think that was his only real kind of clear-cut chance. In my opinion, our best player was Matty Cash. He was incredible. The negative thing for me would be the fact that we score an equaliser and can see the penalty within 2 minutes. You know, we just completely killed all that momentum we had. But overall, obviously, you're never delighted to lose. But overall, I'm happy with the kind of general performance we put out. To be critical, I don't think Target did very well. He's been doing very well lately this season, but I thought that was one of his poorer games. Yeah, that would be my like kind of final notes on the game.
Timu, final thoughts, and you're man of the match?
Man of the match, I am agree for Matty Cash. He's brilliant again. He's always but good performance. Then Konsa, he's always good also. Need to shout also, need more respect to Konsa, what he get right now. Then maybe we need Trezeguet for that kind of game, like against Man United and against top teams, more than Traore. I like Traore, but he's more like good against this when we need to score more. But Trezeguet is good fighter, so for me, he's needed to start for these top teams.
I completely agree. One more thing I will say is disappointing. Our set pieces lately are just just really bad, like short corners, long corners. You know, the one good set piece I remember was the only one that Matty Cash took when Mings had the header. And that delivery was absolutely incredible. So, you know, hopefully, you know, we can start getting Matty Cash on some of these free kicks. That would be great. But yeah, let's just move on. You know, the game's done now. We can't do anything about it.
Absolutely. And, you know, like Pascal said, we lost, but so a lot of positives to take from that result. So before we hop on to the Liverpool game, you know, it's the start of January, haven't heard everyone, haven't seen yet. But, you know, the window's open, and I think Timu brought up a really good point earlier. You know, squad depth's been an issue. Obviously, we've had some injuries, the mysterious Barkley one. Trezeguet's been out with a head gash, and, you know, I think he pulled up on a hamstring injury as well. When you start thinking about what the squad looks like when a few of these guys come back, you know, suddenly Traore is that kind of wild card bench option we're really lacking. Suddenly we have Barkley, who's going to be able to, you know, operate a little bit more, and then, you know, a few other folks in the midfield who can come off the bench. But still, you look at the options, and they're thin. They're definitely thin. So just really quickly, I'm not sure how much thought people have given to this, but do you guys see us being, not busy, but making any signings this window? And if we do, who would you like to see, or at least what position you'd like to see? We'll start with Timu.
I don't think we make many signings. Left back we need, but I think Taylor contracts end for after this season, so I think we don't buy this window for left back. Maybe striker, because we don't know when Wesley's come back, and if it's really serious injury what he has, so we don't know if he never be that good anymore when he comes back. And definitely need midfielder for so we can rotate a little bit for this midfield, because Lewis McGinn, Barkley, after that we don't really have players. I like Hurrihan, but Smith not trust him, so I don't think he has future anymore with Villa. That's for me what I'm doing.
Yeah, I completely agree with that as well. I think we need a left back to challenge Target. He's the only person in the Villa team who has no competition, really. You can see how good buying players is for competition, because if you look at Trezeguet's performances, him, El Ghazi and Traore know if they have bad games, then they get replaced. They might not get back into the team for a long time because the squad's playing so well. So I think everyone needs that competition. And again, as you said, I think a backup striker would be nice. We spoke when we first started doing this podcast all the way in September or whenever it was, we, you know, Josh King was a name that, you know, I was definitely keen in. I definitely mentioned, yeah, like if we could get like some kind of backup striker as well, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think just a different kind of option in the midfield would be really good. Someone who's versatile, can maybe like bump out wide as needed. You know, I like Barkley, and I know there's been talk of signing him on a permanent, but I get really worried about that with all the injuries. Can't stay fit. He hasn't been fit. It's a really tough one. I know I'm going to be on this Twitter brigade forever because I think it's fun to do it, but I think Mateus Cunha from Hertha Berlin would be just an incredible signing. He looks like Dougie. I think they're like really good friends for the Brazil youth team. He can play centrally, not wide. He's like Rashica, but like less obnoxious because we haven't talked about him yet as much or at all. So that'd be one. But I think, you know, I think left back's going to wait till the summer. I agree with both of you. I think Target needs competition to realize that potential of his. I think he was that competition for Bertrand when he was at Southampton, and, you know, he came in pretty good, but I think he has a lot more to go, and it's tough right now, so we'll see. But, yeah, I don't expect to be too busy, but I think one or two signings, or even just like a lone striker to cover until we know Wesley's going to be all the way is good, and hopefully some of the youth will get loaned out because, you know, you want first team minutes, and if Keenan Davis is ever going to do anything besides hold the ball up, which, you know, he's great at, he's going to need to do it game in, game out for a team in a different league. I would love him to have a future at Villa. He just signed a new contract, but he's not going to learn how to finish for us because he does not have that luxury, especially in the Premier League. So we'll see what happens with that. League One or like a championship loan, go to Rotherham. I don't know.
I don't think he's cut out for it, to be honest with you, Eddie. Honestly, I don't think, I hate to say it because he's, you know, one of our players, but I just don't think he's good enough. What's interesting, you mentioned about the kid from Hertha Berlin. What you got to realise is January the 1st, Brexit came into play. And obviously now that's going to affect a lot of the transfers and the rules. I think there's like I'm not like an immigration officer or anything, but I think they'll do a points kind of system, you know, based on international caps and European appearances and things like that, which could in the future mess up a lot of transfers in the Premier League, especially for the top clubs, and ultimately will trickle its way down. That's definitely one to keep an eye on in terms of buying players from the continent and who aren't English. So yeah, let's see what happens in the coming transfer windows.
So we'll go on right to Liverpool, FA Cup. It's, you know, I always forget those games come so late in the season. Like, you know, the League Cup starts right away. You're thinking about it. And if you're a lower league club, the FA Cup is there. But for, you know, the folks in the big leagues, if you will, like it feels so far removed and you almost forget we have these cup games after a while. So yeah, I would love to see a cup run, but I think Pascal said it best earlier. I want to focus on the league. I think Liverpool have their hands full in a number of other competitions as well. So what are you guys expecting from the game? Are you expecting to see a full strength Liverpool side? Are you expecting to see, you know, Smith roll out, trying to get some confidence in folks who haven't had it? Like, what are you thinking right now? Because if I had to assume, my one thing keeping me from thinking Liverpool are going to put out like a half-strength side is the fact that we turned him over the last game. And I think Klopp is not someone who's going to let that slide and just kind of like put out the kids. So what are you thinking?
I think Liverpool are going to go full strength because they don't have a game again until, I think it's the week after. So they have like 8 days rest between the FA Cup game and their next league game. So I think Liverpool are going to go full strength. I think I can see us making a couple of changes. I think Tom Heaton will get a game. Obviously, he hasn't played all season, but I think he'll get a game. I could see Conor Hourihan getting a game. Other than that, I think he'll pretty much go full strength. Trez is fit. I think he'll play, but I don't think there'll be that. I think there may be like three or four changes max. I don't think there'll be that many changes because Smith will want to, you know, for us to put on a performance against a team like Liverpool. And he'll not want us to get turned over. So I think he'll go fairly strong. I think Jack will play. I think he'll play Grealish. You know, I'd be scared of playing Grealish in case he gets injured, but I think he'll play him. But in terms of the game itself, Liverpool are on fire at the moment and it'll be a good game. It'll be a good game. I think they'll have too much for us. But I think it'd be like a narrow loss. You know, but I think we put up a performance, definitely.
It's very hard to say what we're doing with Smith. But I think there is a couple of chances for normal Heaton games, like Pascal said. Then Ramsey probably starts. Maybe Davis get run out. Liverpool, I don't think Liverpool care that much about FA Cup this season. I know they don't have game after this FA Cup game, but they have Champions League games. They have the Klopp already said that they have injuries because of this too many games what they're playing. I think they not go full strength, but we maybe go to half strength team. It's probably half starting players playing for us, but really hard to say what Smith doing.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm more in the camp of, you know, I think Klopp has kind of come out and said, you know, his domestic competitions are not nearly as important to him. But I do think the last game plus the long layover does give him some selection issues. You know, I think they also play tomorrow, which is not the longest turnover. It's 4 days between then and Friday. But yeah, we'll see. I would love to see a few folks get games. Heaton getting a game would be phenomenal. I think that'd be you know, he deserves it. He's played well for the under-23s when he's gotten his little bit of a run out. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, quickly we'll go into score predictions and then we'll wrap up. But Timo, what are we thinking here? Score predictions and I'll make you stick your neck out and guess goal scorers too, if we're going to have any.
Yeah, I thought we win 3-1. Watkins scoring 2 and Davis scoring 1.
Wow. What a shout. What a shout. Pascal.
Oh, I like it. So my heart says 3-2 Villa or 2-2 and we win on penalties. Now, 3-2 Villa. Because I don't think they'll do... I think they'll cut the replays this year, you know, with the schedule. So I think it'll be the penalties straight after the game, I think. So yeah, my heart says 3-2 Villa win. My head says a 3-2 Liverpool win if I was a neutral betting, but you know, hopefully my heart beats my head this time and we get the winning, go through without any injuries and carry some of that momentum onto the Spurs game as well, which is also a big game for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I think with the squad that they'll rotate, I don't think they'll play full. I think they'll have a lot of the big guns on the bench, but I think a few of those guys will get a chance. And I think they'll play Kelleher or whatever the young goaltender's name is. So, I mean, I'm going to go 2-2 and then we're going to lose on penalties. Be a little negative because I feel like that's actually worked out for us in my predictions so far this season. But I think that does it for us today. I have to do goal scorers. I think Watkins is going to get a game because he really wants to get him a goal. And I think Hurahan's going to come up with a free kick. That's mine. But that does it for us today. I think, you know, Timu, thanks so much for joining us. It's been great to catch up with yourself, hear about the Finnish Lions, but also catch up on all the news we've missed. So this is the time where we usually allow our guests to plug anything. I'm not sure if you have anything to share, socials, things you're doing, and, you know, outside of this, Villa related, but things you just want to share with the nice people. The floor is yours.
Yeah, I don't have any special. I just hope that people are safe for this difficult time, that everybody's safe, and hope vaccine comes soon, so back to normal a little bit.
Fantastic. Pascal, anything you want to share with the nice people?
Not really. Happy New Year, obviously, to everyone. Obviously, we haven't done a show for a couple of weeks, so it's good to be back. Obviously, it was a busy period for all of us, being in different parts of the world and stuff. So, thanks for bearing with us, and we'll try and get back to more of a regular schedule, probably starting with after the Liverpool game this coming weekend. So, yeah, thank you very much.
Like I mentioned before, I was moving, so I think it's thrown some logistical issues as well, on top of the cramped fixture list. But I think Pascal's nailed it. We're going to be definitely recording a little bit more now in the new year, now that we have places to go, Wi-Fi to use, and, just time and space that I think is going to be helpful. But I think the one couple of things I want to say before we log off, first of all, thank you so much for 800 followers on Twitter. I think that's incredible. I'd love to keep sharing this and get it as many folks involved and, you know, connected to us as possible, because that's the whole point of this. Bringing people like Timu on, people from around the world to support the Villa. If you haven't already, we've posted it again and again. Please support the fundraisers for the Gambian Lions. They're doing their fundraiser to, you know, get supplies for their football academy in Villa's namesake. So I hope everyone's donating to that. When we release this episode, we're also going to declare the winner of our jacket giveaway, which is going to be exciting. Timu, maybe you'll win. Who knows? It's cold up there in Finland, and I'm sure you could use a good coat. Although I'm sure whatever coat you have is probably way better than what Villa's providing their players. Just assuming. And then last but not least, make sure you're liking, sharing, subscribing, reviewing on Apple Podcasts or whatever you use to get your podcast. We really appreciate it. And if no one has anything else to say, as we always finish off, Happy New Year and up the Villa.
Up the Villa.
Up the Villa.